All right, so today we're really going to get into it, the deep dive style into the story of Jesus and his disciples. We've got excerpts from a text called Jesus and His Disciples: A Journey of Faith and Leadership, and we're going to unpack how these like everyday folks became so impactful. Like their legacy, it still echoes today, right? And it's interesting to think about. It wasn't just about like what Jesus taught, but how he shaped this group into a world-changing force, you know?
Well, yeah, and it is really fascinating how this group, like you said, just kind of everyday people drawn from like fishing boats and tax booths and things became the foundation of Christianity. And I think their transformation really highlights the power of discipleship. Like that idea that encountering like the right person or idea can totally change your trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of encounters, can you imagine like just being a fisherman? You're mending your nets, and this charismatic figure walks up and says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Like, I don't know. I think I'd want to see a business plan first. I don't know about you.
Well, and I think that's where the concept of obedience gets really interesting, because these fishermen, guys like Peter and Andrew, they dropped everything, which showed a level of like trust and willingness that's pretty remarkable. And the text really emphasizes that this wasn't blind faith. Like they saw something in Jesus that made them take that leap.
They were willing to risk it, for sure. Now, you mentioned diverse backgrounds, though, right? So you got like these fishermen, and then you've got a tax collector. I mean, isn't that a kind of strange way to build a unified movement?
Well, yeah, you think, wouldn't a leader want followers who were already similar, like had a shared background or whatever? But this is, I think, where Jesus's genius as a leader really comes through. He specifically chose people with different skills, different perspectives. So, like you said, fishermen, a tax collector. There was even a zealot, which is very interesting. So this wasn't about conformity. It was about leveraging like different strengths to create like a dynamic team.
That makes sense. I mean, because if everybody had the same strengths, then, you know, weaknesses would be highlighted even more.
So this team, they had like front row seats to some of the most, I mean, kind of radical teachings of their time. So you've got like the Good Samaritan, right? Where it's like the despised Samaritan who helps this Jewish person. It really like challenges your assumptions about, you know, who deserves help and who doesn't.
Yeah, and it kind of flips the script on like who we consider the good guy.
And then you've got the prodigal son who's like welcomed back, even though he like totally blew his inheritance. And it shows that forgiveness isn't earned, but it's given. These parables, even today, I think they still have so much power.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't you think? Yeah, they really do. And these stories, along with like, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, offered this blueprint for like ethical living that was totally revolutionary for the time. You know, humility, service, like turning the other cheek. Those weren't just about personal piety. They were about building like a whole new kind of society.
Now, speaking of impact, right? The source material emphasizes the miracles that the disciples actually witnessed. I mean, can you imagine seeing the blind see, the lame walk, even the dead raised? Like, that must have been mind-blowing.
Oh, absolutely.
But they still had doubts, right?
Of course, they're human. You're human.
They're just normal guys.
It's that human element that makes the story so relatable, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
They weren't superhuman. They struggled. They questioned. The text really highlights how, like, even witnessing these miracles didn't erase those moments of uncertainty, especially when they were like facing danger and persecution and stuff.
Well, and that makes you wonder, like, what kept them going then? If even like seeing these incredible miracles wasn't enough to just squash all their doubts, like, what was it?
I think it was this combination of like this unshakable faith that they had developed and this like a profound sense of purpose that Jesus had instilled in them. He empowered them. He sent them out on their own missions to heal and to preach. So it wasn't just about learning, it was about doing.
Yeah.
You know,
putting it into practice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like they went from observing to participating.
Yeah.
Like discipleship 101 to advanced leadership training or something.
Exactly. And that, like, that hands-on experience is really key. The text emphasizes this shift from, like, passive following to active leadership.
Right.
Which I think really prepared them for the challenges that were coming their way.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of challenges, they faced, I mean, a lot of opposition, even from, like, the religious authorities at the time. Weren't there some, like, tense moments with the Pharisees?
Oh, absolutely. The text details this, like, growing tension between the disciples and, like, the religious establishment. You know, they were accused of blasphemy, of, like, challenging the status quo.
Right.
But they didn't back down, which I think shows remarkable courage in, like, standing up for what they believed in.
Yeah, for sure. You might think, though, that with such a strong mission and such bold leadership that the group would be, like, unshakable.
Right.
But this text reveals a different story, right? They weren't immune to, like, internal conflicts or even betrayals.
Yeah, and that's where the stories of Judas and Peter become really crucial, because they're kind of contrasting. You have Judas, who is driven by greed and betrays Jesus for personal gain. It's like a stark reminder that even within this, like, seemingly devoted group, there can be, like, hidden motives and selfish ambitions.
Totally. And then you have Peter, who, I mean, he swore his loyalty.
Right.
And then he denies knowing Jesus three times out of fear. I mean, it's such a human struggle.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, stay true to your values when you're under pressure.
Absolutely. So you have Judas's act, which was calculated. Peter's was more impulsive.
Yep.
But both of those betrayals were really devastating to Jesus and to the group. And I think what's fascinating is this text highlights how even, like, positive traits, like Peter's loyalty, can actually backfire if you don't have wisdom and courage.
Well, that's a good point. So I guess the lesson learned is, you know, if your group has a treasurer, maybe skip the guy nicknamed Iscariot.
Right. Probably wise. But there's, I think, an important point here that, like, despite these failures, the story isn't over.
Right.
The disciples' journey shows us that even when we're faced with, like, setbacks and betrayals, that there's still potential for redemption and growth.
I like that. That's good. That's encouraging. It's a good reminder that, you know, nobody's perfect. Even when we mess up, there's still that chance to learn, grow, and become better versions of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that journey of transformation, I think, is often fueled by, like, a powerful vision or purpose.
Yeah.
And in the disciples' case, it was the Great Commission, which was that instruction from Jesus to spread his message to all nations.
To go make disciples of all nations. Talk about audacious goals.
Right. That's a big one.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about, like, staying in their comfort zone. It was about stepping out and impacting the world.
Right.
And that shift, like, from following Jesus directly to, like, carrying on his mission independently, I think is a really profound one.
It's like their graduation ceremony.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
from students to teachers.
Carrying the torch, lighting new fires.
Like. Exactly. It speaks to the, like, ongoing nature of discipleship, like the idea that it's not, you know, a passive state, but an active commitment to living out what you believe. Yeah.
And sharing it with others.
It's incredible to think, though, how these guys living so long ago still matter today.
Right.
What is it in their story that, like, particularly resonates with you?
You know, for me, it's that transformative power of discipleship.
Yeah.
Like, it's about encountering something or someone that, like, challenges you, inspires you, changes you at your core.
Right.
And then empowers you to, like, go out and make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like, someone doesn't have to be a divine figure. It can be a mentor, a teacher, even a book that, like, sparks that fire within you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And compels you to live a more, like, purposeful and meaningful life.
And then the beauty of it is that it's not, like, a one-time event.
Right.
It's a lifelong journey.
Yes.
Of, you know, learning and growing.
Yeah.
And striving to be the best versions of ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's about, like, taking those core values, like love, compassion, service, justice.
And making them a part of our everyday lives. Like, imagine the ripple effects if all of us did that.
Powerful.
Yeah.
That's a powerful thought.
Yeah, that even, like, small acts of kindness and generosity can have a huge impact.
Absolutely. And that brings us to, like, the heart of the disciples' legacy.
Yeah. Let's dive into that legacy in part two of this deep dive.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Jesus and his disciples. So before we jumped into the legacy, we were discussing the Great Commission, this like bold call to action to spread this message globally, right? And it really highlights how the disciples, they evolved from students into leaders, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. So like they went from absorbing all this information to applying it in the real world in real time.
Right.
Did they, though, did they have like a blueprint for this global movement, or was it more of a figure it out as you go kind of thing?
It's interesting because the text doesn't really lay out a step-by-step guide or anything. It's more about, I think, like the spirit of the mission.
Yeah.
This unwavering belief that their message was for everyone, not just like a select few.
Right.
They had this like burning conviction
and
this deep like trust in the teachings they'd received.
And they had each other too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this text really emphasizes the importance of community.
Yes.
Like how they leaned on each other for support and accountability. They weren't just like lone wolves out there.
Yeah, they weren't going it alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good point. This deep dive really does reveal how crucial their bond was. Mm-hmm. You know, they faced rejection, persecution. They even had like internal disagreements.
Sure.
Yeah.
But their shared commitment to the mission and to each other, like, kept them going.
Yeah.
You know, they understood that they were stronger together.
Well, that's a good reminder for all of us too, right? Like nobody succeeds in isolation. Mm-hmm. You need that support system, that tribe of people who share your values, who help you stay on track, especially when things get tough.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just like moral support though, you know?
Yeah.
The text also points to how they like challenged each other. They sharpened one another. They weren't afraid to like debate.
Oh, yeah.
Disagree.
For sure.
Push each other to think more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
It was through those, like, sometimes even heated discussions that their understanding of the teachings, like, evolved.
Right.
And matured, you know?
So it wasn't just about, like, blind agreement.
Right.
It was more about, like, a dynamic exchange of ideas.
Yeah.
Even if it got a little, I don't know, fiery sometimes.
Yeah.
Kind of like our deep dives.
I'm not too fiery.
That's right. We try to keep it civil.
Yeah. Yeah. But you make a good point. Like true growth often happens when we're willing to engage with like different perspectives.
Yeah.
Even ones that might challenge our own assumptions.
Right. Right. Right.
So the disciple story, I think, reminds us that even like respectful disagreement can be a powerful like catalyst for learning and growth.
I love that. Now, we wasn't all like talk and debate, though. They had to actually deliver, right?
Right.
What does the text tell us about, like, the actual impact of their work?
Yeah.
Did they see, like, tangible results?
So the text describes how they went out and actually established these, like, vibrant and diverse communities that spread, like, so rapidly throughout the Roman Empire.
Wow.
And these weren't just groups of people, like, passively listening to sermons.
Right.
They were actually living out these teachings.
Uh-huh.
They were caring for the sick, feeding the hungry, challenging societal norms. Like, it really was this radical social movement as much as a religious one, you know?
It's mind-blowing to think that, like, this small group of, like, former fishermen and tax collectors could spark such a massive movement.
Yeah, right.
It makes you wonder, like, what was their secret sauce?
Yeah.
What made them so effective?
The text suggests that it was like their authenticity, their genuine belief in this message, and their willingness to put their lives on the line for it.
Right.
You know, they weren't just preaching some like theory.
Yeah.
They were embodying it
in
their actions. And that, I think, resonated with people. It was a message of hope. Mm-hmm. Of like radical love and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was offered in a world that really needed it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they were living proof that transformation was possible.
Yeah.
Even ordinary people could become agents of change. I mean, that's inspiring. But it was a dangerous time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
To be spreading these new ideas.
Absolutely. They faced constant threats, both from like the Roman authorities and from like the religious establishment.
Right.
They were often misunderstood. They were accused of being revolutionaries or heretics, but they persisted. And I think they were driven by this unshakable conviction that their message was worth the risk.
It's a powerful testament, though, to like their courage and resilience and their commitment to something like bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, how did they manage to not just survive, but like thrive in such a hostile environment? Was it just sheer willpower?
You know, the text kind of hints at something a little deeper than that. It describes this like profound sense of joy and peace that they had even like amidst the hardship.
Wow.
And it wasn't about like ignoring the suffering or pretending that everything was perfect.
Wow.
It was about finding this like source of strength and hope that transcended like their circumstances. You know, they're living in constant uncertainty.
Yeah.
But they drew strength from their shared faith and from like those deep bonds of love and community that they had forged.
That's a powerful reminder for us too, I think, especially in challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding that inner wellspring of resilience,
right,
of hope, even when the world feels chaotic.
Right.
And to your point earlier, like having the right people around you to support and encourage you through those times.
Absolutely. And, you know, that sense of community wasn't just limited to like the original disciples, right?
Right.
As their movement grew, it fostered this like incredible network of support and connection that spanned across like social classes and geographical boundaries.
Wow.
You know, they were creating this like new kind of family that wasn't based on like blood ties, but on like shared values and a commitment to like living a different way.
It's incredible, though, how they went from this small, intimate group to this, like, vast, interconnected network.
Yeah.
It's like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Expanding outward, touching countless lives. I'm curious, though, about how their message, like, evolved as it spread. Did it stay, like, consistent? Or did it start to change and adapt as, like, new people and cultures came into the fold?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
And actually one that the text addresses. There were definitely like challenges and disagreements as the movement grew.
Right.
They had to grapple with issues of like cultural differences.
Right.
You know, different interpretations of the teachings.
Yeah.
Even like power struggles within this emerging church. It wasn't always like smooth sailing.
So it sounds like there wasn't this like singular monolithic version of the message from the get-go.
Right.
It was like a dynamic and evolving process.
It was very dynamic. And the text is very careful not to like oversimplify the story. Like it acknowledges the messiness, the debates, the complexities that arose as the movement spread, you know. It doesn't shy away from like the human side of it all. The disagreements.
The power struggle.
The power struggles. The inevitable, you know, growing pains of any organization that's expanding, really.
So it wasn't all sunshine and roses. There were like struggles along the way.
Definitely. Yeah, the text highlights how they had to constantly like grapple with these questions of authority, of like interpretation, even the nature of their mission. Like it wasn't a simple like one size fits all.
Right.
You know, they had to adapt. Yeah. They had to compromise and sometimes even agree to disagree.
Right.
In order to like maintain unity and keep like the core message alive, you know.
So it sounds like navigating all those challenges probably took a lot of wisdom and grace.
Right.
How did they manage to hold it all together
without
like fracturing into a million different factions?
Well, the text suggests that despite their differences, like they were united by this deep love for Jesus and for like the transformative power of his teachings.
Yeah.
They recognized that their shared purpose like was far greater than any individual ego or theological like squabble, you know, so they were willing to put aside their personal agendas for like the greater good.
It's like they understood that unity doesn't require uniformity, right?
Right.
They could celebrate their diversity, but still be committed to a common cause.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about finding that like sweet spot.
Yeah.
Where you can like honor your individual perspectives without losing sight of like the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And that's a theme I think that continues to resonate throughout like the disciples' story as they navigate like the complexities of building this movement that would eventually, you know, spread across the globe.
It makes you wonder what they would think if they could see the world today.
Right.
How their message has been like interpreted and reinterpreted over centuries. It's a good thing we have an expert here to help us unpack all of this.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, bad.
But it is fascinating to consider how like their legacy continues to like evolve and shape the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And that's something we'll dive into in the final part of our deep dive
into
Jesus and his disciples.
Welcome back to our final part of this deep dive into the world of Jesus and his disciples. So we've walked through their journey, their challenges, their successes, and how like this small band of believers became a global movement. And now I think, it's time to shift gears a little bit and talk about like what their story means for us today. What can we learn from these guys centuries later?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? What's interesting to me is that even though they lived in such a different time, the disciples, like, they dealt with challenges that we still face today. Doubt, fear, temptation, that struggle to actually live up to our values. So in a way, they offer like this timeless blueprint for just navigating like the human experience.
Yeah, and they were far from perfect, that's for sure. I mean, they messed up, they argued, they even doubted the very person they were following. But I think that's what makes them so relatable.
Right.
They weren't superhuman. They were just ordinary people who like messed up and then got back up again.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a key takeaway, I think, from this whole deep dive. It's not about reaching some like impossible level of perfection.
Right.
It's about that journey of, growth and transformation.
Yeah.
And their story reminds us that we all have that potential to evolve and to become like better versions of ourselves, even if we stumble along the way.
So it's not about never falling. It's about getting back up, dusting yourself off, and learning from those stumbles.
Exactly.
And it sounds like having the right people around us can make a huge difference in that process. And this text really emphasizes, the role of community in all of this.
Oh, absolutely. The disciples, like, they leaned on each other, they challenged each other, they celebrated each other's successes. They really understood that they were stronger together. And they faced so much opposition, both from within their group and from the outside world. But their commitment to that mission and to each other really helped them to persevere.
Yeah. It's like that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Right.
Like they recognize that achieving like lasting change requires collective effort and that strong support system.
It's true. And that support, it wasn't just about, warm fuzzies and back pats. The text actually highlights how they like held each other accountable.
Yeah.
They pushed each other to think critically, and they weren't even afraid to, have some healthy debate.
Right.
They understood that real growth often comes from challenging our assumptions and being open to different perspectives.
So it wasn't just about blindly following the leader. It was about having like that dynamic exchange of ideas, even if it got a little, heated sometimes.
Exactly. It was an ongoing process of like discovery, not just a static set of rules. They had to adapt. They had to compromise, and they had to find ways to like bridge their differences while staying true to that core message. Of love, compassion, and service. It's a good lesson in like how to navigate complexity without losing sight of your values.
Yeah. It really makes you think about all the ways their message has been, interpreted and reinterpreted over the centuries. It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all kind of legacy, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like, how can we today, in the world we live in, like, how can we tap into like the essence of their story without getting lost in like the theological weeds?
Yeah, that's where I think critical thinking comes in. This deep dive is encouraging us to like really engage with the text, to ask questions, to consider, different viewpoints, and to come to our own conclusions. It's not about, blindly accepting someone else's interpretation. It's about finding meaning that resonates with our own lives and our own experiences.
So make it personal.
Exactly.
Connect it to your values and figure out what speaks to you. What parts of the disciples' journey do you think have like the most relevance for people today, regardless of their, religious beliefs?
Well, I think for me, it's the power of purpose, like committing to something bigger than yourself. The disciples were driven by this vision of a better world, a world based on love, justice, compassion. And that's something that I think transcends religious boundaries and speaks to just our human desire, for meaning and for making a positive impact.
It's about finding that thing.
Yeah.
That lights you up, that gets you out of bed in the morning, and that like fuels your actions in the world. And it sounds like from this text, community is a key part of making that purpose a reality.
Oh, absolutely. We need each other. We need those support systems, those tribes of people who share our values and inspire us to be our best selves. The disciple story, I think, reminds us that we're not meant to go through life alone. Like, we're wired for connection. We're wired for collaboration. We're wired for collective action.
It's about finding your people. Right? The ones who challenge you, the ones who support you, and the ones who celebrate you along the way. And when you find those people and you like lock arms in a shared mission, well, that's where the magic happens.
And I think that's where the true legacy of the disciples lies. It's not about like dogma or ritual.
Right.
It's about the power of love, of service, and of community. It's about recognizing our shared humanity and working together to build a world that reflects those values.
It's a powerful reminder that even ordinary people, just like those fishermen and tax collectors, can make an extraordinary impact when they're united by a common purpose and a commitment to each other. It's been an amazing journey exploring the world of Jesus and his disciples, and we hope that you've gained some new insights, some fresh perspectives, and maybe even like a renewed sense of purpose along the way.
Yeah, and remember, like the deep dive, it doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep striving to make a difference.
Until next time, keep diving deep.